Our Bible reading is Psalm 23. It's to be found on page 555 of your pew Bibles, 555. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Are you joyful in your Christian life? Do you hear things on Sunday like, yeah, God is for you? Or you read something in an article, maybe it says you should live a bit more of a thankful life. But hours after reading it, either you've forgotten or you just, it doesn't feel true anymore. Well, today I hope to encourage you that we have a reason to be more thankful and more joyful. And I don't mean joyful as in being happy 24/7. That's not realistic. I mean joyful as in being content, cemented in the knowledge, unshakable knowledge, that you are loved and loved abundantly by God. So as we go through the verses today, we'll see that the Lord protects, the Lord provides, and the Lord blesses. And those are the three sources of David's joy. And we can see whether or not we can apply those things to us. Spoiler alert, we can. Where is this book? There you go. I need to keep my notes up because I keep falling. Sorry, this page was meant to be up before. Straight off the bat, okay, let's start with verses 1 to 3. The Lord provides. We got David saying that he'll not be in want. He trusts God to provide everything that he needs. And let's not forget, David is the king of Israel. He has bucket loads of responsibilities, but he trusts the Lord to provide. Did you spot that he calls the Lord his shepherd? He carries on that analogy in verse 2. Do you know what a shepherd's job is? It's to bring your sheep to safe and hopefully vibrant pastures, maybe a bit like the tulip fields of the Netherlands. I'm sure some sheep would love that. The Lord brings David to safe, vibrant pastures and makes him lie down to rest, to get away from things. The gentle trickling of a river that brings life to its surroundings. The low droning and buzzing of insects. Quiet, peaceful, safe. Reminds me a little bit of Psalms 1 and 3. David has such faith in his Lord that he can say, that he says, the Lord leads him in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Being somebody who loves God, loves his God, he wants to be able to do these righteous things that will bring honor and glory to his Lord's name. And also the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you like your church jargon, this one's called sanctification. It means the ongoing work of the Spirit to be made holy day by day. The end of it all is the Lord's praise and glory. Now you may look at me and think, what a respectable young man. Or maybe you don't. But you certainly wouldn't have 6 or 7 years ago. The Holy Spirit has been working in me to make me more like Jesus. The Lord knows I've got a long way to go yet, but the difference is obvious. Just ask my mum or any of my non-Christian friends from before. But it's not because I just chose to be nicer. I chose to be better. I thought I was pretty nice anyway. But it's actually that the Lord led me in paths of righteousness. So all the praise rightfully goes to him. An example, I used to go out on the town every Friday, every Saturday, sometimes both, I used to get so drunk that I couldn't remember what I did all the time. We did that every weekend. But you won't catch me doing anything like that now, because for me, the shame it would bring on Jesus would be unbearable. A few drinks, yeah, fine, okay. I'm not against going to the pub, but being out of my mind, out of my senses, that's not righteous. How am I representing Christ to others? The things we say of David in this psalm, we can also say of Jesus. He fully trusted in God. He fully trusted in God to restore him daily once he had been healing or teaching or encouraging people, whatever he was doing, debating. And as Christians, we can follow David and Jesus in trusting God as our shepherd. And Jesus even uses shepherd imagery to refer to himself in the ways that he cares for us. Jesus is God who came to be our shepherd for us. Let me read you a quote from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as I know the Father and the Father knows me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. The church I came from in Basingstoke is called the Good Shepherd. This is just inside the entrance as you walk in. It's a shepherd carrying a lamb around his shoulders, presumably because it was, I don't know, injured or lost or something. But that's exactly what Jesus is like for us. He is the Good Shepherd. He binds us up and carries us to safety. If you're a believer in all the things Christ has done, then you are one of his sheep. He cares for you as an individual intimately. Like David, we can trust in the Lord to provide for us and to bring us to safety too. We might often say that we trust in the Lord to provide, but when push comes to shove, do we really think that? Is he the one that we come to at the end of a really awful day to refresh our souls? Or do we go to like a self-help article on the internet or something like that? Well, this is how David trusted in God. And it's how we can trust in God too. And how we can have more joyous and fulfilled Christian lives. Okie dokie. Second thing, verse 4, we're going to look at that the Lord protects. Here are those famous words that just spawn pop references. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Oh no, sorry. That's Gangster's Paradise. Okay. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I wear the crown of thorns and pull the knife out my chest. No, not many people know that one. Sorry, that's another song. That's from Hollywood Undead. Both songs that reference the verse for its dark and oppressive feel. In the war film Jarhead, the staff sergeant says this verse to the Marines that he's training. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. On its own, it's actually a pointless statement, because fear is a natural response and you can't actually stop it. But if you pair it with the following statement, for you are with me, you have a winning combination. David wasn't fearless because he was so strong and mighty. He was fearless because he knew that the Lord was always with him. It was actually when he started to rely on himself is when everything started to go wrong. And I do want to distinguish, actually, between David being the anointed king and us being anointed by the Spirit, because there is a difference, and our lives will be very different from David's, because God has promised things to David that he hasn't promised to us. I say this because I don't want you to go away and think that no matter what you do, no matter what situation you put yourself or find yourself in, that God will protect you. It's not like saying, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. It's not like those are some magic words that will activate God's super protection. Your actions will still rightfully have consequences. Speaking of anointed ones, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, became the Messiah, the Christ that history has looked forward to since the Garden of Eden. But has anyone ever been more surrounded by evil than him? Think of everything that happens after the Garden of Gethsemane. How terribly he's treated by everybody. He's betrayed by his friends. Got enemies on every side. Beaten. He's flogged, shamed, spat on, mocked. He's called names. He has to carry his cross, heavy cross, up the hill and then nailed to it hands and feet while other people look on. Isn't that evil? But he fears no evil because he knows that the Lord is with him. The comfort of knowing that he is never alone overpowers the fear of evil. Are we not invited to know the same exact thing? Jesus died and was risen for us so that we can be forgiven our sins and join in the family relationship. The last two lines of verse 4 bring us back to the shepherd analogy. In case you didn't know, a staff is basically a long, sturdy stick useful for walking and bonking things on the head. This is the kind of weapon that a shepherd would have to fight off feral animals. So if wolves appear, you don't want to be caught empty-handed trying to defend your sheep. Potentially, it was also used to keep sheep in line as well. Some people think that the Christian life is one where good things are fenced off, and that God pointlessly fenced off, and that God is doing the fencing off. But perspective can change if you put yourself inside the fence. I'm going to try and use the laser here. This is Jesus, or pretend so. This is the sheep. This is us inside the pen. And these are dangers outside. There are dangers and temptations that are too strong for us. As you can see, the wolves are waiting. Jesus is trying to protect us, but the world keeps pulling us out. Maybe it won't be so bad. After all, not doing what he says. Wrong. The things we need are provided by God. The boundaries are set for our own good and so that we flourish in them. The Lord is always with us. We are his precious sheep, and he'll never abandon us. If you cry out to the Lord when things are difficult, he will hear you. The Lord blesses his anointed, the final two verses, 5 and 6. To have a table prepared before us in the presence of our enemies is to say that the enemies will see the goodness of God in us. So for them to be before me, as it says, for David, probably wasn't referring to an enemy army right in front of them. It was likely referring to enemies inside his own kingdom, people that want to see him fall. God's bountiful provision for David is right before their very eyes. When we're at work or at school for the kids and you hear some snide remarks or something, or you're excluded from something just on the basis that you're a Christian, know that they look at you and they see God's goodness. It frustrates them. The way that you live differently, the way that you live righteously, it highlights their unrighteousness. David is so sure of the Lord's goodness and blessing that he can say, surely it will remain with me to the end of my days. Some days I feel like that as well. Other days, maybe not so much. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Our faith rises and lowers like one of those buoys in the water, depending on the tide. Life can really get us down, or it can be so good that it makes us forget about God. But we can't say the same for Jesus. Jesus was always absolutely certain of his place in heaven with God. He didn't ever doubt his place. I know that Jesus is God. Jesus is also a man as well. He dealt with all the insecurities that a human has to, and he overcame them because of his faith in his great God. Did he question? Did he doubt? Did he even stutter when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? Nope. And when Jesus died on the cross for us and he was risen again, he gives us the opportunity to have the same certain assurance as him. It's open to all who have faith in Jesus. He is the source of our assurance. He makes it so that even on our worst days, when we feel pathetic and worthless, we can still be 100% sure that we are loved by God and that our place in heaven is there for us, guaranteed. The Christian always has an eye on the future. We're not completely preoccupied with the here and now. We know that the best things are still yet to come. And that's why the confidence that we can have in our future is so important and so powerful. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me also. There are many rooms in my Father's house. If this were not true, would I have told you that I'm going? Would I have told you that I go there to prepare a place for you? If I do that, I will come back, and I will take you to be with me. Then you will also be where I am." We're not left on our own at one point after repenting and believing. We receive the Spirit, and then when it's time to go, Jesus himself comes and brings us with him. Are you joyful in your Christian life? How can we live a life of thankfulness? Well, I hope you've been encouraged this morning to know that you can, because the burden isn't on you. Jesus offers to and takes all of our burdens. Like with David, he looks after us as little sheep, as our good shepherd. He guides us unto righteous paths. He gives us rest and restores our souls. He intimately cares for us, and he provides us with everything that we need and more. And most importantly, we don't have to try and work for it. It's given to us. One of my favorite examples of God's amazing gift giving, look around at each other. We guys, we're a family. In Christ, we share a connection, a bond that is stronger than any other bond. What a gift. He gives us confidence that we don't have to fear any evil because our Savior Shepherd is with us. We can be thankful for the certainty that we're going to dwell with him forever. It's not on you to be a good Christian to receive this provision from God. In Christ, we receive it all as a gift. Maybe over coffee you can talk with somebody about how you've experienced God's provision or closeness. But for now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Psalm 23. Thank you that you do provide for, you do protect us, and you do bless us so much through Jesus. Please help us to be more mindful of those times. And thank you that we don't have to work for them. You give these to us as a precious gift. In Jesus' name, amen.